This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Every weekday, we talk with public officials, business and education leaders, nonprofit organizations, and more about the issues of the day as we work hard to help you stay connected with local news and information. Now, here's Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Thanks for being here this afternoon. Already working on a lot of different programs for the week, including Friday. We'll be out at the Sportsman's and Outdoor Recreation Show, so a lot to do with that. Then out at the Douglas County Fairgrounds. I'm going to start off this week, though, with the CEO of Aviva Health, Casey Bolton. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Kyle.
So you guys recently announced that you're now providing child advocacy services in Douglas County, and kind of explain the process as you begin this.
The process really starts with law enforcement and child protective services, working with an agency to provide essentially forensics if there's a suspected abuse of a child. And that agency or entity is called a child advocacy center. And there's certain pieces once you form that one of your questions you're going to ask me about this rules, like you follow those rules and you work with those teams, law enforcement and CPS.
And what was the process like to jump into this?
You know, personally, one of our patients at Aviva Health had some challenges with the system, and so I made some phone calls. This is before Douglas Cares the board announced that they were going to suspend operations temporarily or indefinitely. And so I made some calls of the law enforcement, try to understand the system, and that kind of started their dialogue with me and Aviva.
And how long was this whole process?
It was fairly rapidly. It was the days between Christmas and New Year's that I made some calls, and then coincidentally the letter came out. So that was the two things were unrelated, and that's when I started talking to my team about, could we be ready to help out temporarily? Because this is such a critical service. Any day you don't have it local, you're having families go to other counties to do those forensics. And so the law enforcement CPS approached us about a week later to talk about whether we would be able to do it.
And for those families of the kids involved, you know, you've got so much going on. Adding a trip that's, you know, at least an hour, hour and a half each direction probably adds a lot more stress to the whole situation.
100%.
So what kind of input did you get when you talked with law enforcement, maybe some of the other agencies involved?
Yeah, that's a good question. Like we basically came at it like, this is not something that we do normally. It's not traditional healthcare. And we came into it, frankly, very humble and wanted to go like, how should this be done? And how does this CAC thing fit into a much larger continuum of bringing this child's perpetrator to justice if that's needed, and then helping them recover and get back to their lives.
So, and it's really obviously for the providers, for the other people behind the scenes or involved in other parts of it, it's really, like you said, a lot different than the type of healthcare you're normally providing.
Sure. I mean, you know, the cycle is there's someone reports it, and the reporting should go to law enforcement or CPS, not the CAC. The CAC is engaged later by law enforcement or CPS once there's been a determination that there is suspected child abuse. And so the public should continue to report to law enforcement or CPS. And then again, we'll get engaged when they tell us, hey, we want you to do the forensic part of this.
And so as you get started in this, what kind of response have you gotten so far?
I'm not sure.
From just kind of in general, from maybe law enforcement, from the other agencies?
My team and I we're being given a lot of grace because we are. I told them we're going to have some hiccups. You know, this is something we're taking on that's new to us. Although there's a lot of material out there that we're getting up to speed on, but they've been really supportive, And the one of the most important things in these types of sort of systems is really good cross communication. And so there's emails flying almost 24/7 or texts between all the multidisciplinary team, the MDT, and then us as the CAC.
Now, is there an agency, and maybe this is at the state level, I don't really know, that determines when an agency can be a child advocacy center?
Right. So the CACs are, and it's fairly universal nationwide, by the way. Each state has a system like this. The CAC is determined by the Department of Justice down to a local multidisciplinary team, the MDT, which consists of law enforcement, CPS, and some healthcare providers that sit on this board that make sure the CAC is, you know, doing their mission and is synchronized. And someone from the DA's office usually chairs that board, but it's a Department of Justice program.
And so again, for people that observe what they think is child abuse, where are they supposed to go first?
They should always call law enforcement on the non-emergency line. I don't have that memorized in my head, but have it written down, or Child Protection Services.
And so, and then it goes through their processes, protocols, before it would come to your staff.
Absolutely.
So, again, we're kind of run through the specifics of what all services you're providing at this point for this area.
So right now we're providing two main services that essentially are the core function of a CAC. One of those services is a forensic interview done by a certified provider, usually LCSW or LPC or something like that, that has a certification in forensic interviewing to get with the child and find out what happened and ask the questions in a certain way that does not damage any possible evidence that might be used in a trial.
And obviously, the people doing that, you've got to probably have a certain level of qualifications. I don't know what's involved specifically.
So there's a couple of certifications that are provided at the state level, and then frankly, experience is everything. But like the lens is doing it in a trauma-informed way. So trying to help that child get out of that trauma sort of environment and feel safe and the system not kind of re-traumatize them.
Now, normally, Aviva, how many employees do you have?
We have 350 employees.
And you're spread around. I mean, you've got the area out there by Costco. And where else are you located?
We have a clinic in Sutherland. We have a school-based health center at Roseburg High School, Myrtle Creek, Drain, Glide, and mobile clinics as well.
So you've already got a lot going on.
Yes and no. I mean, we're resourced well to serve all those communities.
And so for taking on child advocacy services, where are you doing that?
So we have a building downtown that we use as swing space or administrative space off and on. And we've done a remodel to that building to make it appropriate to do both the forensic interview and the forensic exam.
And that probably, I mean, given the timeline you're talking about, that had to be a pretty fast process as well.
It was incredibly fast, and I'm so grateful to a lot of the local businesses, which I highlighted in my Facebook post as the CEO, of what they did, and they stepped up, and we couldn't have got it done in time if they hadn't done that.
All right, we're going to talk more about this with Casey Bolton from Aviva Health, the interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM. Inside Douglas County, 1247. Lars Larson is at 1 o'clock. We're live from Salem tomorrow. State Senator David Brock Smith is going to be with us. Oregon State Legislature just getting the short session underway today, so we'll get his perspectives on a number of things as things begin in Salem, and that, of course, is a 35-day limited session, so we'll see how that is happening tomorrow. Casey Bolton with Aviva Health. Now, over the years, one of the things it seems like Aviva has been kind of in the midst of is when situations happen. And I think back to the pandemic, you guys seem to be ready to move fairly quickly when you feel like there's a reason to.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to be said about organizational agility. I kind of learned that concept from my time in the military, but like being able to flex to support, if you're community oriented, you should be willing to try to fill gaps if you can.
And now talk about what you did in the military, because not everybody probably knows that.
Yeah, so I went through ROTC at Oregon State and went into the Medical Service Corps of the Army, which is basically an administrative role, but I am trained as a medical planner, which is what was part of the COVID response stuff. But kind of up as you go through the ranks, you move away from tactical units into kind of fixed facility management and organizations. And so I commanded a couple hospitals, one in Iraq. And my last job, I was a regional health system chief of staff.
And how did you end up in Roseburg?
It's an interesting story. I actually interviewed twice for the job, a year apart. I don't know if we have time to go over that, but my wife and I are Oregonians, and we want to give back to a community, and the size of the community and all that just lined up.
And so the first time, though, you didn't end up coming then?
No. So the organization at the time, and we're still UCHC, Umpqua Community Health Center, they had a 6-week lag between the video interview piece and then bringing people on campus, and I got a job offer in Bend, and took that. So,
but then when you had a chance to come to Roseburg, you went for it.
100%. Yeah, love it. And I'm not looking back. I'm not leaving.
So with this now providing child advocacy services, talk about the process for finding staff for that. What that's been like.
So that it's been wonderful, frankly, because a lot of former folks that worked at CARES in various capacities have reached out to us saying, hey, we'd be willing to help in a part-time status or permanent, depending on what you need us to help with.
And so how many people have you hired so far?
So we have 3 right now on retainer based on the forensic model that we're using. It's basically like a call system, like first up, second up, third up. And we have several other more that we're in talks with for the forensic piece of the interview and the physical exam.
So any idea how many, with all the behind the scenes things, how many more people you might end up hiring?
I'm not quite sure because we're right now starting to try to understand the therapeutic services piece, which is farther down this process for the child and their family. And that would entail mental health and behavioral health professionals being a part of this CAC team. But right now we're focusing on the things we're required to by Oregon law, which is the forensics, and really sticking the landing on the staffing for that and the operational model.
And so kind of getting the basics all ironed out and then seeing what makes the most sense to advance to.
Yeah, exactly. So you got to do the forensics piece right or the system does not support the child and bring justice where it needs to be done.
So any idea if this is going to be long term or is that kind of unknown at this point?
We've been asked to do it long term. My board of directors did an impromptu meeting and voted to approve that. So there's some things to iron out at the state level that are imminently going to be fixed. And then we will be certified as a CAC in the sense of the state certification.
Now, you mentioned the therapeutic piece. Any idea timeline-wise how long it's going to take to get all that worked out?
I really don't, Kyle. I think it's fair to say it won't be any quicker than 6 months because there's a lot of moving pieces to that, not just one being the location. We're not going to do the therapeutic pieces where we also do the forensics. You don't want those two events to be associated with each other. So we're looking at that and making sure we do that right. And so in the meantime, we're working with someone who has a business that does the trauma therapy for children to we make sure that they have capacity and advising us on how to set up our own.
Now, it looks like you had a lot of kind of input or work with law enforcement on all this?
Yes. So law enforcement is a critical piece. They're like the front loaded or, you know, tip of the spear, if you will, of these responses because of the potential of some sort of court case. And so we've been, the sheriff's office has been fantastic. Chief Klopfenstein from Roseburg, but other city chiefs of police are part of that MDT as well. And so that MDT with Child Protective Services, those are the folks, they actually, the CAC works for the MDT.
So your board, when you, how did you approach this whole area with your board?
I tried not to just spring it on them. That's not a good tactic at all. But like, I kept them informed, starting with that event where our patient fell through the cracks and said, okay, I'm going to make some calls. I'll keep you posted. And as it evolved, I just kept forwarding some of the correspondence between law enforcement, CPS, and us.
And what's been their response to all to this kind of addition?
They are, to a person, humbled that we were supported by law enforcement and CPS and asked to do this. And they're fully behind whatever we need to do to either enhance or grow the service.
And what do you anticipate? I mean, you're going to probably stay pretty busy with this for the foreseeable future.
We will, but again, by having these former employees come in who know how to do this, who have the passion for the kids, you know, we're already kind of have a pretty good rhythm with it. I do want to share with the listeners, though, the child abuse hotline. If they suspect child abuse themselves and they need to report it, that number is 855-503-7233. The last four spells SAFE.
Now, what's that number again?
855-503-7233.
Any other things people ought to know about this whole process or what you're hoping to do?
We're going to have some hiccups, but you know what? We're listening to the public, we're listening to the families and the MDT, law enforcement, and CPS and other folks, and we're going to be guided by them. At some point, there'll be a branding of this CAC into something different. We don't know yet. We're doing surveys with a lot of folks to get their input before we land on a brand.
And if people want to find out more about what you're doing, is any of that up on your website at this point?
Some of it is, yes. That first press release is there, and we'll probably follow up with some more details soon.
And what's the website address?
It's aviva.health, and drop-down menu, I think it's about or whatever, it's news and events, and that's where we're putting all the information.
All right, Casey Bolton, CEO of Aviva Health, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Kyle.
1256 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This has been Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Listen every weekday afternoon at 1230 to stay connected with what's happening in your community. Today's interview will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it with others and let them know where they can hear it. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.